listening to Real Talk on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Here on Reality Check Radio, it's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Oh, you can send me a text, by the way, 2057, inbox at realitycheck.radio for emails. Be lovely to hear from you. So nice to be back in the seat. Well, the treaty. Oh, my goodness. It's an historical document to me, signed way back then, cobbled together. Very good document. But it's not a constitution. It was basically to get the country running and to give comfort to the Indigenous people. And it did. And then we got our parliament, and then we were run as the democratic Westminster system, where parliament decides the laws, not some text. But of course, this text has grown and grown and grown in significance and importance, so much so that we had some clerics, some church leaders, declare it a sacred text. I'm not a very good scholar, but isn't that blasphemy? Really? It's a text put together by men. For the purposes of men down here on earth. It's not sacred. And we get to decide our own fate through voting and through our parliament. But of course, this treaty has been twisted out of all recognition by those who want to create chaos and rule over us. And they do that to divide us and to make us angry. And they revel in it. And so to fix it, and what's spurring this latest debate, is the ACT Party's Treaty Principles Bill. I didn't know quite what to make of it. I worry that, I mean, in my view, we should just expunge all mention of the treaty. It's an historical document. It doesn't guide us now. It wasn't meant to guide us all these years down the track. It's not a constitution. Anyway, I came across on Muriel Newman's webpage, Breaking Views, a good analysis of the Treaty Principles Bill, which I thought I'd share with you. And it's written by a man who I haven't ever met, and he's called Barry Davis. And there's a wee byline that says he's a retired telecommunications engineer, which is great because I love engineers because they do stuff. They make things work. I like the practical engineers, and I even like the university-trained engineers. But Barry goes one step further to elevate himself. He holds a PhD in the psychology of Christian beliefs. I don't quite know what that is, but I like the sound of it. So here we go. Here's what he's got to say on Breaking Views. And it's just for us, you and me, this community, to understand better this Treaty Principles Bill and just where this government is at on it. The ACT Party, and I quote, Treaty Principles Bill, promising equality for all New Zealanders, has been eagerly anticipated by some. It has been suppressed by the National Party and New Zealand First and vilified in the press, which is always a good sign. Oh, Barry's off to a good start. But then it went terribly wrong and reinstated exclusive race-based privileges, or institutionalized racism, as I prefer to call it. What do we do to correct the problem? On the 10th of October 2022, a year before the 2023 election, Nicole McKee put out a press release saying, now Nicole McKee was an ACT candidate and is an ACT minister. So this is before the election. She put out a statement saying, ACT proposes that the next government pass legislation defining the principles of the treaty, in particular their effect on democratic institutions, then ask the people to vote on it becoming law. Well, so have a referendum. Fair enough. And of course, this is where the mischief doubles and doubles and doubles over and over and over again, because suddenly this treaty has been vested with principles that were put into Parliament, into legislation that everyone had to follow. No one knew what they were. Still don't. They just get made up by the courts and by activists. So this bill is designed to define what these principles are and to have us vote on them. I suppose if we're going to have treaty principles that we have to follow, we should know what they are. I mean, that's a bit obvious. This is what is exercising everyone. Oh, treaty principles and legislation. You want to know what they are? Oh, no. That goes a step further. They're not even going to work out what they are, but they're going to let us vote on them. That's democracy. Anyway, this legislation, says Nicole McKee, I'm back to Barry Davis, would define the principles of the treaty as one, New Zealand government has the right to govern New Zealand. Well, that's what I take of Article 1. Two, the New Zealand government will protect all New Zealanders' authority over their land and other property. That's what I take as Article 2. And three, all New Zealanders are equal under the law with the same rights and duties. Yep, I could live with that happily, because it would end the special legislation based on race. In February 2024, the great promise of New Zealand, I'm quoting Barry Davis, who's quoting Nicole McKee's press release. The great promise of New Zealand is that everyone's equal. For generations, people have travelled long distances to give their children a better tomorrow in this little country where everyone gets an equal chance. Lovely. Sort of chokes you up a bit, because it's true. And we've lost it. In February 2024, so now they're in government, ACT proposed a bill based on those three principles. One, that the government has the right to government for all New Zealanders. Two, that the government will honour all New Zealanders in the chieftainship of their land and all their property. Chieftainship. I like the first one, but oh well, okay. Three, that all New Zealanders are equal under the law with the same rights and duties. The bill is part of the coalition agreement between ACT and National, which promised to introduce a bill based on existing ACT policy and support it to select committee as soon as practicable. But Cabinet recently approved a revised bill, which is quite different to the ACT policy given above. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because we're going to have to check the coalition agreement. Because if they've changed it, how? Notice how the government still has full power to govern, yet the people's rights now differ as specified by the government. So it now becomes this. One, civil government. The government of New Zealand has full power to govern and Parliament has full power to make laws. They do so in the best interest of everyone and in accordance with the rule of law and the maintenance of a free and democratic society. Well, it's basically what it was. Two, I have read this over and over and over again, and I still can't make head nor tail of it. So I'm going to read it slowly. Two, the rights of hapū and iwi Māori. The Crown recognises the rights that hapū and iwi had when they signed the treaty. It's a funny thing, right? Because the hapū and iwi that signed the treaty weren't legal entities. The chief signed. There was no entity then. So who are the iwi and hapū now? Oh, I know we've constructed them out of legislation. It's not the same organisation, hence a lot of bitter dispute. Anyway, back in 1840 when they signed it, the Crown recognises that the hapū and iwi back in 1840 had those rights. Quite how they get all the way through to now, I don't know. But anyway, That's what I guess they're implying. Now, this is what it then says. The Crown will respect and protect those rights. Well, I'd love them to tell me what they were and are. Because I'm lost. Because I'm not even clear what rights Harpo and Iwi had in 1840 when they signed the law. But now suddenly we're supposed to agree and respect and protect those rights, but they haven't told us what they are. Those rights differ from the rights everyone has a reasonable expectation to enjoy. This is a bit that gets me. Only when they're specified in legislation, treaty settlements, or other agreements with the Crown. So, Iwi and Hapu had rights in 1840. We're going to respect those. Don't quite know what they are, but we're going to respect them and uphold them. However, the rights differ from everyone else only if they've been decided by legislation, treaty settlements, or other agreements with the Crown. I can't make head nor tail of it because you're not at respecting whatever rights Ahapu and Iwi had. You're only respecting the Parliament or the treaty settlements or the Crown somehow agrees. Aye. So it's contradictory. Anyway, back to this. And then three, right to equality. Everyone is equal before the law and is entitled to the equal protection, equal benefit of the law without discrimination. Everyone is entitled to the equal enjoyment of the same fundamental human rights without discrimination. So this is what Barry Davis says. The problem I have with that is articulated by Janet Wilson in the Post on the 14th of September. Forget any rights the treaty principles infer, I think he means imply, if passed, this would enshrine the treaty into law. Rather than restricting treaty rights, which was Seymour's intent in introducing the bill, it would expand them. It's hard to know if, in trying to make concessions to make the bill more appealing, the Act leader lost sight of the political consequences, or, as politics Richard Harman opined this week, that the Harper and Iwi clause was the trade-off Seymour bargained with to get a referendum over the line. But the clause is an open invitation to treaty lawyers and judges to advocate and decree that the rights Hapu and Iwi had in 1840 then enshrine those protections into law. Exactly. Barry Davis goes on, here are a couple of examples. For example, there's a conflict within Principle 2, which says 2, rights of Hapu and Iwi Māori. The Crown recognises the rights that Hapu and Iwi had when they signed the treaty. When the chief signed the treaty, slavery, cannibalism, and infanticide were customary practices, which continued under the British, finally stopped them around 1860, yet the bill continues. The Crown will respect and protect those rights. They contradict that when they say those rights differ from the rights everyone has a reasonable expectation to enjoy only when they're specified in legislation, treaty settlements, or other agreements with the Crown. Well, I think I made that point too. So Barry and I are on one. The customary rights the Māoris had when the chief signed the treaty are not applicable today and should not be ratified by our representative parliament. Second example, there's also conflict between principles 2 and 3. Principle 2 says there will be different rights. Rights of Hapu and Iwi Māori, those rights differ from the rights everyone else has a reasonable expectation to enjoy only when they're specified in legislation, treaty settlements, or other agreement with the Crown. And principle says the rights will be the same. Right to equality, everyone is equal before the law and is entitled to the equal protection, equal benefit of the law without discrimination. Everyone is entitled to the equal enjoyment of the same fundamental human rights without discrimination. Yes, it is contradictory. But also it's contradictory because of this Hapu and Iwi thing. Because back in 1840, they weren't legal entities. And what we have now is far removed from that. And, of course, what we're saying is Hapu and Iwi have rights. different to everyone else, it's a bit worse, right? Because you're not actually saying that individuals have rights different to you and I, but these legalized tribal groups do. Scary, scary, scary. Because who gets to run those tribal organizations who have rights different to you and me? It's no use, says Barry, saying, oh, what it means is, what it means is what it says, which is incoherent. Exactly. The author is talking out of both sides of their mouth in an attempt to appease both sides of the debate. It is a mess, and the Waitangi Tribunal pettifoggers will be all over it. Exactly. It occurs to me that it is intentionally being left up to the Waitangi Tribunal to figure out what it means, like the Treaty of Waitangi Act 1975, which has been a disaster. Exactly. We'll be out of the frying pan into the fire. Exactly. Even if it were to go to a referendum, it'd be foolish to support it. Exactly. Captain has set this up to fail. I do not now agree with the bill. The jurors will have a field day, as Janet Wilson says. The next Ardunas government will use it to conclude the descent of New Zealand into a Maori ethno-state somewhere between Samoa and South Africa. It seems to me that the revised bill is a miscreation and there's a risk it'll deliver the opposite of what it was intended to do. I don't think it's a risk. I think it's guaranteed. Oh, my goodness, goodness me. Oh. My position is that I want no exclusive rights for Maoris. Why should Maori get exclusive rights and not Samoans or Chinese or Scots? This is Barry Davis speaking, but I agree with him. What should be the response if the New Zealand arrangement were applied to Indigenous peoples of England? I want the treaty put in a historical context where it belongs, which entails that its provisions are removed from legislation. Exactly. Whether you agree with me or not, I do, but anyway, I hope you at least agree that if we're going to have a sound debate and make submissions, allowances should be made to include my position. Yes, because your position is my position. And even if it wasn't, it still should be included. Yet here is a situation I now find myself in regarding a making submission on the revised Treaty Principles Bill. If I don't make a submission, they'll be taken to mean that I have no interest in the issue, which will disincentivise proceedings to a referendum. If I make a submission and argue against the bill because of the revisions that will be taken to mean that I do not want the bill to proceed, that will also disincentivise proceeding to a referendum. If I make a submission and argue in favour of the revised bill, conditional on it being put back to what it was, that will never happen and my submission will be negated and so a waste of everyone's time. If I do make that condition but instead merely point out it is a problem, my submission will be taken to mean that I endorse the revised bill. I then have to rely on it not proceeding to a referendum and being passed, but it may just happen that after the first reading, the revised bill could proceed to a referendum. It has occurred to me that David Seymour could be stringing it out until the next election, at which time there may be an opportunity to include a referendum in the next coalition agreement. But if the revised bill is passed into legislation, that is not what I want my submission, and my submission would have contributed to that. So my position has been excluded from consideration. If I make a submission, it could only be as an explanation such as that I have given here. But that would be with respect of the revised bill that is being considered and would not address the problem of exclusive rights for Maori, which is what I understood the initial bill would address. At best, I'd just be making the point, to which no one will pay any attention, that the revisions of the bill stymied the debate that the referendum was intended to ratify. It was not a public debate. The Cabinet had the debate for us. Well said. From my position, therefore, the revised Treaty Principles Bill is useless and a waste of everyone's time. Whoa. I think there are two things we need to do instead. The first is to remove the Waitangi Tribunal provisions from legislation as proposed by Winston Peters in the Principles of the Treaty of Waitangi Deletion Bill 2006. That way, we the people can do that is to show that the Waitangi Tribunal provisions are fallacious. And as based on the reconstructed back translation of the treaty into English by Professor Sir Hugh Carfro, then the first step is to show how Sir Hugh's translation is mistaken. If we take down Carfro's translation of the treaty, we take down the Waitangi Tribunal and with them the provisions they have installed in our legislation. I don't know about the translations. The second thing we need to do is reclaim our sovereignty. Who is Christopher Luxon to tell us we cannot have a referendum? That is worse than Jacinda Ardern telling us we have a lockdown and then us doing what we're told. We all know why Prime Minister Luxon does not want a referendum. It's because he knows we do not want what he is doing. Quite. It needs to be brought home that we, the people, are the source of sovereignty and that our representative parliament exists to serve us, not the other way around. Certainly we need an authority to implement boundaries, but that authority needs to take their steer from us. We need to look into our constitutional rights and ensure that a referendum is a necessary part of our democracy and that it is our choice to invoke one should we so desire. Hear, hear. That's the opinion of Barry Davis. And I want to just read this key point. It needs to be brought home that we, the people, are the source of sovereignty and that a representative parliament exists to serve us, not the other way around. So what does the Act National Coalition Agreement say about all of this? Well, I've got it here. And this is what they agreed to form a government. Introduce a treaty principles bill based on existing Act policy and support it to select committee as soon as practicable. Wow. It's not yet got to the select committee. It went to cabinet and got changed. So National and Act are in breach of their own coalition agreement. Did Act agree to this? And I'll tell you why they're in breach. Because we know what the existing Act policy was. Nicola McKee set it out. What's come out of cabinet to go to select committee is the opposite of Act policy. Trouble at Mill. I don't know what happens now in the Act caucus, in the Act party, because this is a clear breach. Oh my goodness, did David Seymour agree to this? I can't imagine that he did for a minute. I honestly can't imagine that he did. Well, what's the space? Send me a text 2057, email me inbox at radleycheck.radio.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.